Yo, this flow, man, yo.
Honourable members, I think we need to start with our meeting. Before I can start with our meeting, I just want to clarify that this meeting, we're not going to treat this meeting as a kangaroo court meeting. We are just the delegation from Maninbeg, we are just going to make a presentation. And then after the presentation, we'll have a discussion around their presentation. And then after, we'll allow IDT to respond. That's what we are going to do. And then after their response, we are going to release you and continue with our work. Do you agree with the presenters of Maninbeg organization? That's how we are going to move. Okay. Can we start? Chairperson, can we start? Are you on? Is everybody ready? Okay. But not forgetting that in the last meeting, IDT responded that for this year they did not fund the NGO. Okay. And you should also be aware that what you are going to present here is only the truth and nothing else. Okay. Over to you. We are going to give you 15 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, by way of introduction, I'm Faldila de Vries, representing the community of Maninbeg and the Maninbeg Development Coordinating Structure. And the issue at hand is the allegation of mismanagement of government funding, because we believe that it's government funding. Faldila, Faldiela, and De Vries, Devries. We want to firstly thank the committee, the portfolio committee, for affording us the opportunity to present the concerns and issues here today. We have chosen this route as the last option. We do this as the Section 56 of the Constitution and in support of government anti-corruption policies. We also wish to be assured that the Manenberg community at large should not be penalized for the actions of leaderships of the two organizations. The issues that we want to present here today is as follows: the abuse of IDT funding by Proudly Manenberg, the abuse of IDT funding by Zion Pulse, the abuse of TEBA funding by Proudly Manenberg, abuse of project beneficiaries, and the use of government funding, i.e. TEBA funding, for the independent candidate Maria Wanza. We've put it in different cases so that we focus on each case specifically. So the first one is the IDT funding by Proudly, for Proudly Manenberg. In March 2010, concerns was raised to the Manenberg executive on mismanagement of funds and ghost workers. Engagement started with IDT from April 2010. In May 2010, so IDT told communities about the discrepancies of the 97,000 and that the forensic audit will be done as requested by the community. The community was told that the forensic audit will be done by PricewaterhouseCoopers. IDT refused to avail the outcome of the audit to the community. Community appointed an attorney to engage with IDT. Community was told to instruct the attorney to request the forensic audit, and to date, that was still not received. We want to make reference to the signed MOU, Section 7.1. The service provider shall be paid 50 rand per day for every opportunity created. A total of 500 work opportunities will be created at the cost of 2 million rand. The allegations are as follows. The discrepancy in the funding received and the monies paid to community beneficiaries, copies of timesheets and ghost workers were given to IDT at the time. Proudly Manenberg chairperson, Maria Wanza, was paid 15,000 rand per month. And all these annexures has been documented and put in folders as per case, which we've handed over to the secretariat. And that there's an affidavit by Eugene Campson claiming that this was done, even though Mario Wanza had publicly claimed that he only received 1,000 rand as everybody else. On a monthly basis, 500 job opportunities was claimed, but at no point were 500 community members employed. See Annexure 2A. No surplus was declared to IDT as required as per IDT at the community meeting. Monies were drawn for beneficiaries who had already left the project. Signatures were fraudulently put on timesheets. People didn't work and it was filled in for them. Very little training was given to beneficiaries. The gender sector was given training in 2009, and we've got people that was participating at the time, but were not paid for the months in which they was received training, and was assumed that, the 1,000 rand was paid towards the training. Beneficiaries volunteered for 7 months and received their first payment in October and were told that bridging finance was used. As per Section 7.2 of the MOU, advance funding equivalent to 2 months' salary was given within 7 days of signing the agreement, see Annexure 2A. The reality on the ground was that beneficiaries were never paid on time and every month was short paid. On the 7th of May 2010, beneficiaries was paid 150 rand. People's dignity was violated. The next week, they were given 50 rand instead of the 1,000 rand. Schedules of payments were signed for. This can be proven because people signed for the amount. Mario Wanza was questioned on to why he has to receive so much money, and he responded that he has a high standard of living, unlike the people in Manenberg. And so the questions to IDT is, Why was the outcome of the forensic audit withheld? Was fraud detected in the forensic audit? If yes, why was no criminal charges laid as per the TFMA? And I'd like to add that in your presentation to this committee, you said that you support the TFMA. Why was no public report back meeting held as promised? What is the relationship between IDT and TEBA? Then the second case for IDT is the abuse of funding by another organization, Zionpulse, and we believe that this happened because no action was taken against the first perpetrators. After Pride in Annenberg funding was stopped, IDT funded an organization called Zionpulse Community Project. As per annexure, this organization was only registered as an NPO on the 19th of April 2010. Annexure 1. The Church Zion Life Ministries, and we have the pastor with us here today, confirmed through documentation that there is no connection between the church and Zion Pulse Community Project, even though Albert Brown and Frank LaRue claimed the connection to the funder. Processes followed by the concerned members was that they raised the issue once again of financial mismanagement, nepotism, and seemingly self-enrichment internally in the organization. Their concerns were taken to IDT Cape Town. IDT Cape Town was shown the documents of financial mismanagement, nepotism, and the organization was not paying the participants that was due to them. The IDT staff did not take these complaints seriously, in our opinion. The matter was then taken to Zion Life Ministry Church Council. Pastor David, that's present here today, the parish priest, led an in-depth investigation on behalf of the church whose premises was used. When sufficient evidence was compiled, Pastor David laid criminal charges at the Manenberg Facts. A docket case was opened, and the case number is there, and is now under investigation. There's an annexure from the investigating officer. The issues that was concerned was that the beneficiary was not paid what was due to them. A letter was given to each beneficiary confirming the 1,000 rand monthly income from the 22nd of July 2010 till the 30th of March 2011, annexure 3. An invoice was submitted for June and July totaling 390,000 rand. But no work was done, that's in annexure 1. The last week of July, the first payment was received by beneficiaries of 250 rand for attending a 5-day induction workshop. The question asked is, what happened to the rest of the funding as the annexure 1? Beneficiaries were paid in part via the bank and in other parts in cash. 100 rand was deducted from each beneficiary for the cash payments, which was justified by the organization to be bank charges. Annexure 1. August 2010, Dominic Eden testified in church that he was bought a 5,000 Wende house by Frank LaRue and Albert Brown. Albert Brown and Frank LaRue, who has been unemployed for many years prior to receiving the funding, suddenly acquired assets such as cars, new furniture, and plasma screens, and so on. Albert acquired a car within the first 2 months of the project and Frank in November 2010. Albert Brown's wife, Sophia Brown, is listed as a beneficiary, but is not involved in the project. Albert Brown's son, Bevan Brown, and his friend, Ikram Davis, are both full-time students, but is reflected as beneficiaries on the timesheets, but has not been participating in the project. Beneficiaries were given blank sheets to sign for monies received. Participants are fired for no reason. There is a suspicion that these people are still on the books. It's despite not being there. On the 17th of December 2010, 45,000 in cash was withdrawn from an ATM at Standard Bank by Albert Brown. This was confirmed by the camera at Standard Bank. And this investigation was done because one of the participants was accused of stealing this money. And so they went to the bank and they found a copy of the, they were given by somebody a copy of the ATM slip, and they went to view the camera at the bank, and that's how this information was acquired. The bank statement reflects a pattern of withdrawal needs that needs to be investigated, and we've included the bank statement as Annex 6. The board of Zion Pulse is constituted from those members and Frank LaRue's wife, who is on the board. Two supposed board members confirmed that they were not aware that they were board members. There's affidavits from these two board members. Any of the beneficiaries who questioned either Frank or Albert was summarily fired. The question to IDT is why? What was done when concerns was raised by Trevor Henry? He came to your office. Given the concerns raised, was the document submitted by Zion Pulse ever investigated? If discrepancies are found, will criminal charges be laid? Madam Chair, I'm not sure if I know that TEBA funding wasn't given via your department, but we've included it in our presentation because the same pattern of abuse is continuing, and we believe that the TEBA funding is also government funding via the Department of the Office of Governance and Traditional Affairs. So I'm not sure if what we have for IDP.
We're not going to attend to cooperative governance issues. If you want to make a presentation, you can then go and make with them. But here we are dealing with IDT issues that we have raised.
I accept that.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Honourable members, this is a presentation from Manning Bay Community. like I indicated, honourable members, we are not going to treat this meeting as a kangaroo meeting. I indicated the program that they will make their presentation and will deliberate, and thereafter IDT will respond. There are issues, 17 issues raised, and there are also questions posed to IDT for IDT to respond, but you can also deal with the questions as a committee. Can we, honorable members, engage? Honorable Madroba?
Thanks, Madam Chair. No, I think because there are questions that are really directed, maybe we can contribute after we have get a clarity. But the only question that one was seeing, 45,000 withdrawn from the ATM, I'm not sure whether it was withdrawn in pieces because ATM can't allow 45,000 to be withdrawn at the same time. Is that what we can be clarified? But most of the stuff, I think, after we have heard the clarity from the other party, we may be in a position maybe to ask some questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Lapa. Honourable Thank you.
Yes,
can you?
My interest is too much on the question of forensic audit. Because my little take tells me that any investigation done by forensic audit has got recommendations as to what needs to happen, and you know, and the people identify their own, must face what is necessary to face.
Are you done? Honourable members, can I allow IDT to deal with the questions raised? And also clarity from my Manning Bay committee about the 45,000 that was it withdrawn in piecemeal or in bulk?
It was
voting system.
Chair, I also question that because it's a lot of money to be drawn at an ATM. But the pastor who is here today has given the ATM slip. Unfortunately, the original was given to the premier, but there's a very dull copy of the slip showing 45,000. We will, however, go and try to recoup the original that can prove that is very clear. But the pastor over there, I was hoping that we would be sitting so that they could answer some of the questions posed, because really we are representing their case as a coordinating structure. But there's documentation, Madam Chair, given here to the committee with each annexure that we refer to, the proof is in the different annexures.
I remember there's one issue that we need to attend to. They are now bringing in the mayor.
No, they had given a whole history to the premier, because when they wanted to go lay charges at SAPS, initially SAPS didn't want to take the case, despite having all the evidence. So Pastor David can account for those, the processes that they followed. We're just putting the whole issue here because initially they didn't know where to go. It wasn't very clear who IDT is accountable to. So they were feeling in the air.
Thank you. Can we allow IDT to respond?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, members from Amendment Bank. To introduce myself, my name is Tembin Metamutsu, and I'm the CEO of the IDT. Firstly, Chairperson, just to indicate, as we did at the last meeting, that for the year 2010-11, we have not funded Manen Bank. Our last funding on the EPWP program was during the financial year of 2009-10. Secondly, Chair, it is correct that we did institute an audit after there were a number of issues that were raised by the community, including going to our offices to give us a petition in relation to some of their dissatisfaction about the leadership of the project. We did complete the audit, and honorable members, we were appointed by Public Works to implement on their behalf the EPWP. According to that agreement, we were to return that audit findings back to the Department of Public Works to indicate that we were unable to account for some of the monies, given the irregularities that were prevailing at that project. We did make a recommendation out of the findings, and unfortunately we could not pursue any action post that until such time that the department has given us that go-ahead, because we account to that department. We were implementing the program on behalf of the department. The issue of not giving the report to the community, it is not really, because we are not directly accounting to the community in as far as the financial management. We accounted back to the department that has given us that finding. I think we will have to be directed otherwise if we have to release that report publicly, and also taking into consideration the consequences of that process. For now, we have not released that, and we thought we should not release that to the department. The action that we took, though, was not to continue funding Manen Bank, given the mismanagement issues that came out of that report. So for this financial year, we have not funded. On the other question, the outcome of the forensic audit withheld, yes, honourable members, we did not release it to the community for the reasons that I have stipulated. Was fraud detected in the forensic audit? If yes, why was no criminal charges laid as per the PSMA? As I have said, we made recommendations to the department, and we, together with the department, we should be able to take any action once those responses have been received. Why was no public report meeting held as promised? Actually, honourable members, my chairperson directed a public meeting that was the meeting that is referred. Through the former Minister of Public Works, Minister Deutsch, he requested that the chairperson come and address the community, because the community was saying they don't want us as officials to be talking to them because we've not taken serious action on this. And the chairperson came to address that. So I think that might not be a true representation that the public meeting was not held. Of course, that meeting was not to present the report, but it was to address the issues that had been tabled at that stage before we could even put in that report. What is the relationship between IDT and TEBA? We don't have a relationship. Thank you, honourable member. My colleague who is responsible for programs wants to add on the matter.
Thank you, CEO, and warm greetings to the House. Chairperson, thank you. Maybe Chair, to introduce a technical aspect. When the irregularities were reported at the Proudly Mannenberg, what we commissioned was not a forensic audit or investigation, but what we did is we extended our internal audit services to look into the Mannenberg project. Now, the nature of internal audit reports, again, I said I'm technical, Chair, generally are for the organization, different from a forensic audit. Now, what that internal audit...
Besides a forensic audit by PricewaterhouseCoopers, you also had your internal investigation.
Yeah. I'm glad that you raised it. There was never a forensic audit commissioned. All we did was to extend. Pricewaterhouse was our internal auditor. So we extended the brief of our internal auditors and said we have received concerns with regarding to this project. We are not happy with what we're receiving. Please review the status quo in that project of Mannenberg. So not a forensic investigation. The results were that there were indeed irregularities, which we've indicated in our reports, which some of them have been raised by the Mannenberg community, which included duplicate and invalid identity numbers, differences between monthly beneficiary reports and site attendance reports. On the basis of that internal audit, we then made a recommendation to the funder of the program, to the department whom we implementing the department on its behalf. And the recommendation was that a forensic investigation be considered, which is generally a costly exercise, which is what my CEO is referring to. And that specific process of undertaking a forensic investigation was never done, but what was done was an internal audit, which led to even our relationship with Mannenberg not continuing. Thank you,
sir. Thank you. Department of Public Works, Earlier on, CEO indicated that they are still waiting for Public Works to maybe to make recommendations or do whatever you were supposed to do. Can you come in on that issue?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, the report could have been given to our internal audit. I'm speaking under correction here because it would have been handed from IDT's internal audit to DPW's internal audit. An internal audit would implement whatever the recommendations were. At this stage, Chair, I'm not in a position to say, has the forensic audit started or not, or why, what is the progress in that regard? I was just talking to Adam now to say it would have been important for us to bring a response in this matter from our internal audit side. But unfortunately, at this stage, we don't have the details in terms of whether the investigation has started or not.
Procedurally, if the department were given the report by the IDT, whoever received the report should have directed the report to department's internal auditors. Why was that not done? Where is the report as we're talking? Who received the report? Was the report ever sent to the minister for minister's recommendation? What happened?
Chairperson, that's exactly my take also, that it would have moved from IDT's internal audit to DPW's internal audit. But whether this report has reached the minister's desk, I'm not sure if it was sent. I think it was sent during the former minister's time, not the new minister. So I will make a follow-up and provide you with a response in terms of whether this report has reached the new minister.
Public Works, you were in the know of this meeting. You were informed about this meeting. I did engage you as department, though not personally you who are responding, but the department knows about this. My expectation was that you will respond to this, not to come and blame to the former minister, not to come and say, well, you don't know who received and what happens to the report. To me, it doesn't carry any water. Honorable members,
Honorable Majapa will be followed by Honorable Mguni. No, thanks, Honorable Chair. No, I think maybe we must get a clarity, Chair, to join the queue of what you have said around the issue of the process. If there is an investigation, what is the process? So that we really understand, because you can't, after a year, and said you don't know what happened to the recommendations that were done by internal auditors. But can we understand the process? Because it touches the finances of Public Works. Obviously, the CFO would have been brought in around the issue of these investigations, because it touches the finances that were given to those community organizations. I also don't understand, if we are not sure what happened to the investigation after the IDT have made the recommendation, as they are indicating, what was the next step? Maybe if we can be clarified the process. If you give funds to a certain organization and there is a mismanagement, and the process that is being followed after the internal investigation by internal auditors.
Honorable Mguni.
You know, I'm trying to make sense out of our input in this matter. Now, I'm trying to locate ourselves within the broader process which took place in this thing. My view would be, why can't we allow, call them complainants, Manningberg community, to leave? We have listened to them, or either ask further clarity from them, so that we've heard their complaint, and we are intending to deal with it to the latter, so that they must recuse us, so that we are able to deal with our internal. These are internal matters wherein they serve as witnesses of what was happening there. Now we will engage with our department, PW, and the IDT, until they will give them a report. That's what my thinking, Chair. I don't know what I'm
saying. Honourable, if you can remember, this is the second meeting. The Manningberg community came in one of the portfolio committee meetings, and then we said they should come back last week, of which was postponed. That's why they are here today. I thought we'll deal with this matter, and we'll remain after all this presentation and the responses by the IDT. Because the problem was, why was IDT not giving them the forensic report? Why was IDT not meeting them? And those are the issues that we raised and said we will deal with them today. And I don't think we'll be doing justice to this, to Parliament, to keep on calling this meeting to come and discuss one issue for the third time. I don't think we need to deal with this and make recommendations to the department to say this is what the department should do. Because department and IDT need to deal with this issue. We deal with it today, and we exhaust it, and we transfer it to department.
Can I check, Chairperson? I also heard in the presentation that the matter is now taken to court. Do we still have the room to debate this particular matter? Because on the presentation,
let me cut you short. They said they wanted to open a case with SAPS, and SAPS refused them. When they went to the Premier.
No.
Yeah, no. That's what they said.
No.
Madam Chair, what is being overlooked here is that there's two organizations. The first presentation was done on Pradi Manenberg. The second one was done on Zion Pulse. Now, IDT need to clarify the statement that they made that once funding was stopped, no funding went into Manenberg. Zion Pulse was funded between 2010 and its ending 2011. And so there isn't... Now, Madam Chair, you can see why we're frustrated as the community. The Zion Pulse people didn't know where to go, and they were frustrated in the process, and finally ended up the pastor sitting over there, Pastor David of the church, then finally laid, after gathering all the information on Zion Pulse, laid a case at SAPS, but no case was as yet laid against Pradley Manenberg because we waited for the forensic audit. That is what we were waiting for.
You see, you are now confusing issues. I don't know whether you will agree with me, honorable members. When they first made their presentation was on this NGO, Manningberg NGO. Other projects were not brought in at the beginning. That's where the confusion comes in. Honorable Gayla.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, IDT was right to extend the audit on this matter, and because they are and they've reported according to the public to Department of Public Works, where the problem really lies is with Public Works, because Public Works should have then briefed IDT that we want a forensic audit. So I feel one way or the other, Public Works knew about this meeting, and they come here not prepared. As we can see them, they're just totally not prepared, or maybe they're not concerned. Either not prepared or not concerned. Our problem really lies with Public Works now, because they should have come here prepared for this meeting here. There's no blame at all. that you can lay at IDT. The problem is with public works. Why are they not there? Why haven't they got all the proper documentation? What did they do when they received the audit from IDT? And public works needs to answer us on that.
Public works?
Thank you.
Chair. Let me first start by explaining that I'm a board member, a trustee of IDT. In this meeting, I came in my capacity as one of the trustees. Not that I'm trying to run away from the problem, because what should have happened correctly is that public works, we should have brought in internal audit and our legal people who are dealing with this matter and prepare the presentation, a clear presentation that will talk to the issues. And Chair, I'm not running away from this issue, and I'm not trying to give excuses. I've asked Adam to go and call Stanley so that we can resolve this matter today. He is responsible for the public sector. He'll be able to give us progress. Unfortunately, the internal audit people are not here in Cape Town today. And we also commit to provide a written response by the end of the day today, because this was a matter that was already submitted to our internal audit, there must be something that has been done. I don't think we haven't attended to this issue. Otherwise, I would have brought all the people who are expected to report on this matter. In responding to the issue of financial management, the matters get reported as fully investigated financial issues to be reported as a regular once the investigation has been concluded. So this would be a matter that is listed within the work in progress in internal audit. But as soon as it is concluded, then it comes to me so that I can disclose it properly in the accounting book.
Thank you. Honorable Mwengwane, I think we need to have a direction on this matter. It's either we close this meeting and allow the Maninbe committee to leave, we remain with Public Works and IDT. Honorable Mwengwane,
Director. I think the concern here is that IDT was aware that the Maninbe community forum would be here today. Unfortunately, I don't know how it came about that they're not prepared. There's no report from the department, DPW. I'm sorry. I spoke about IDT, because IDT did the internal audit and gave the matter over to DPW, Department of Public Works. I would expect them to at least to have a form of a report. Just to, I mean, these people have come all the way from Maninbeek, and really it's not because they are concerned. And this problem started a long time ago. I think this is the second year now, 2009, 2010, 2011. So I don't know how they feel about the problem now we're facing, because we don't have the actual report from TPW. Maybe
Honorable Mwengwane,
maybe we could speak to them.
Honorable Mwengwane.
No, Kiano Mwachepepe. My little earlier request, the basis were that from time to time you'll have the other one says this and the other one says no. You see, actually that it can be avoided when we have our meeting, as you know, because, Chairperson, let me take just one typical example. The presenter from the Maninbeek community says there was no meeting, and the CFO from IDC says there was a meeting. Now, it goes deeper and say that where was that meeting held when the community was not aware? Now you must go deeper and say, let's find out actually the Maninbeek community is telling the truth, or the CFO is telling. You know, I would not want to engage in such a debate. Mm. It does not. It's not helpful. Now, if you leave, the Maninbeek community leaves this matter to us. Mm. They have reported to us, Our job is more like policing, let's not use that, it's too strong. Oversight, our role is oversight over these institutions, your Department of Public Works, and the companies that are working with us. So we've got a complaint we're dealing with, we're going to get deeper into it, and you'll get the report. That's what my thinking is.
Yes, Honorable Mazabia Sekoni, and the point. No, thanks, Chair. I propose, Chair, that this matter be left with us and make the follow-up to the Department of Public Works on what transpired around that particular matter, because even if it is part of the investigations that are not yet finalized, but they must be known, that they are outstanding matters that would have been reported to say that it's outstanding. So one suggested, but I'm not sure, Chair, because there are two matters now, as you are correctly indicating. We're of the view that we are debating the issue of Manningberg, the first one, proudly Manningberg. But now there is another matter, and that particular matter, according to the presentation, the case has been opened. I don't think it's within our jurisdiction if the matter has been opened. The case has been opened. Maybe let us deal with the first one that was really reported to us, and we get a proper report, because it's not going to help us to say Public Works tell us if they said they don't have the information here. So they will end up giving us false information. Let us wait for a proper report, Chair. That is my proposal.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. So we agree that we release the Manningberg community. The matter is with the committee. We'll come back to you after engaging IDT and the Department of Public Works, because we feel that justice was not done on this matter. Department should have not filed the report from the IDT. The IDT followed the correct procedure of presenting the report to the department. And also, CFO, you should from the start clarify the committee at the beginning that you are not here as a department, you are here as a board member, and you should not have responded on behalf of Public Works if you are here as a board member. Thank you very much, and I'm sorry about your trouble of coming here. You will hear from us. Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the day. Communities from public, from Manningberg. Thank you, ma'am.
The two meetings, because
no, we have closed on this. We will communicate with you directly, because the matter is now. No, we hear there are two cases here that you're talking about.
I'm talking about the meeting that the Honourable MP is talking about. There was one meeting.
Switch on for recording.
Just to save a lot of time, there was one meeting where IDT came to the community and there was engagement. They left and said they will come back. They will do an audit. There's newspaper clippings where IDT had committed themselves to an audit, a forensic audit. We've got the proof. And what they also told the community, they will come and report back on the outcome of the forensic audit. Now, the thing that we're talking about hasn't reported back is the second meeting that the community is waiting on for the outcome of the forensic audit. So there was a meeting, yes, there was engagement, but the second meeting, and we have proof that we were told about the forensic audit.
Thank you very much for that information, and I would like to get the newspaper clippings.
Yes,
can you?
We will do.
Thank you very
Unfortunately,
much.
Unfortunately, not Afrikaans, but you can have it translated.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee.
Thank you very much.
Are they putting on their thing? So they can lift this
one? Yeah.
That's fine. Let's see. I'll just put it on the desktop. Come on.
Can we go back to our discussion? And can manning the community pick up whatever and excuse us? Other members, I think here we need to engage public works. I don't know whom are we going to engage here. Because public works, as we are talking, there's no public works here. There's no public works here. And those who are here and are from public works, whether for now you are representing the board, because you are an official, you must take this message. You know, the way you are operating as public works is not acceptable. You are bringing that department into a sort of a Mick Mouse, I'm sorry to say this, department. Because you know about this meeting. And you allow people to waste their money to come to this meeting and you don't come with answers. I mean, for now I'm not defending IDT. But IDT followed the procedure of presenting the report to you. So that you can guide them, you can come up with answers. And here you don't even know where the report is, who received the report, and where is the report, and what are the recommendations in the report. That is what you are saying to us here. And why waste money? And why come here without any answers? And why should you now try by all means to drag other officials from the meetings that they are having or whatever, because you now want to bring in Anderson. And we know from the beginning that Anderson is the one who's in charge of this, and he should be here. But instead, you do not do that. And it's not correct, and we're not going to accept that as a committee. And on this matter, we will engage the minister to say, this is how you present yourself in these meetings. I don't know, I don't remember whether I'm out of order or not, but we need to raise these issues. It's just a waste of time and a waste of resources for us to come here and not deal with the issues. Honorable Mama, Mazala, is it your hand up? Okay. Mama November.
I want to support you on that one. Really, this was a waste of time and a waste of money. It's not right. The department is not really engaging with us in the correct manner. If they knew that there should be a day that the meeting is today, they should have prepared them really very much so that these people are going out now. And they have spread something else there outside. What then? So Parliament is just a sportful, if you may call it like that. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Mungoni.
Secondly, I agree with my colleagues on this one, but also I wish to strongly tackle the IDT. I don't want to leave them outside. Actually, for them to hold a meeting and promise this community that they will come back and give them a report, it was very faulty from their side. Usually when you hold a meeting, tell people a story, you must come back and tell them that, no, that story of yours, we have... Now, they just got it in this meeting that is, usually they don't give public their reports, internal audit reports, but you told them that you're going to investigate. Why don't you come and say, no, we've investigated, but we can't give you a report until we are so told by the department where we account at, you know. I think you are equally to be blamed, IDT. But the department, you know, actually, it's very responsible. We should have been hearing that the IDT submitted this thing in the department and therefore make a follow-up that how far are you with this thing. Because I'm telling you, we cannot be a services delivery government when we cut information for our people. Our people want information. even if we are unable to deliver on time, but as long as that we keep them up to date as to what is happening, how far are we, our people will be happy. Thank you, sir.
No, Chairperson, I just want to concur with what you were saying, that one feels that we are being undermined by public works, because basically myself, I would put the blame at public works, really, because IDT has got a mandate from public works, and they've done their work, but they cannot then install a forensic audit without the approval of public works, because public works has to pay for the forensic audit. So basically, personally, the whole blame lies with public works, and I feel that they are undermining the whole committee in not even attending a meeting of this nature. And also, Chairperson, the lady was from public works, although now she's wearing a different cap now, but definitely she knew that there is this type of meeting. She is a senior, she's in a senior position within public works. So I'm not accepting that she came as a board member only, but she knew what was the meeting all about, you know. And she should have spoken to her colleagues so that all the relevant documents are brought here to this meeting. So basically, I think this is totally undermining of this committee. Nothing more, nothing less. Thank you.
Honourable Madam, will be followed by Honourable Newman. No, Honourable Chair, I think we all agree that really we can't accept that our communities will be treated like that, given empty promises and then we don't come back. Secondly, Honourable Chair, I think also the IDT is at fault also, most at fault, in a sense that we requested that they must come back and give us a report around the issue of Maningberg, about Maningberg issue. But they did not refer the matter to the Department of Public Works, because they said now the matter is no more in their hands. They were supposed to say to us, no, we have referred the matter to the Department of Public Works. Because at the moment, they are coming here, but they said their hands are tight. They can't say anything. The matter has been referred. But our request was directed to the IDT to say, give us a feedback on that particular matter. They did not indicate that they can't give us a feedback because the matter has been referred to the Department of Public Works. They are both equally wrong to come here and not tell us the truth, because we would have not called the IDT if they indicated that, no, the matter is no more in our hands. I think they were supposed, if we're directing the matter to them, they were supposed to direct it to the Department of Public Works, who is now responsible for that particular matter if it is no more in their hands. I can't say that they've done well and everything, because we requested them. They were supposed to tell us they are wasting our time to come here and say, no, the matter has been referred to the department. And they did not tell the department that, no, the committee is asking us, because we have referred the matter to you, please come and present here. They come themselves. So I really don't accept it, Chair, both of them, not only the department, because the department has not been referred. We thought that when they are coming here today, they are going to give us answers. They said no answer today. Thank you.
Honorable Morning, Honorable Rabutati, Honorable Sithole, and in that order.
Thanks. Actually, mine was, I wasn't part of the last meeting. I thought maybe IDT did indicate that the matter was with the department. I mean, that's one thing they should have done in that meeting. They should have said so that we make a follow-up, we make a straightforward request that they should, public works should come and do the presentation to us, knowing very well that there would be this follow-up meeting. And secondly, concerning the CFO, truly speaking, I mean, you are wearing two caps, and today you are saying you come here under the cap of IDT as the IDT board member. I think the whole thing falls on your shoulders, because you should have made a
DPW aware of the findings of what happened, what transpired in the last meeting, and we would be very happy today if we had the meeting. I mean the report. I mean, it's unfortunate that today, when there's this issue, you come wearing the cap of IDT. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Chairperson, in as much as I concur with everybody, I also feel that, you know, we cannot sit here listening to both IDT and Public Works, you know, passing the buck to one another. This one trying to say, this did not do this, I'm here with this cap, I'm not here with this cap. Because at the end of the day, both entities, you know, both Public Works and IDT are supposed, you know, to share the responsibility of what is happening in Malindegel. Because obviously, what happens there, Public Works should know that IDT is building Malindegel and vice versa. As a result, I feel that they are equally to be blamed, because, you know, we cannot single out IDT or single out Public Works, because they are both responsible. So I feel that, you know, they mustn't come here, waste our time, and pass the buck to one another as we are sitting and watching them doing that, because we feel that we need answers of what is happening there. That's it.
Chairperson, actually it is very painful to be undermined by the department, because the department, as we are speaking to, as we are speaking today, whom I'm speaking to, because the department is not here, because the CFO is representing the IDT. So now there is no, actually there is no department here, because if the DG is here, or either the acting DG is here, sometimes you can direct all questions and all concerns to him, but he's not here.
Members, thank you very much. I think we need to close this matter, this IDT, the money back issue, and continue other issues. But I want also to say, CFO, today you came here as IDT. I don't know, because in all the meetings you are not attending, and we'll discuss with the department on this very issue of money back. And I think IDT, you want to raise, and then we close it. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Member. Once the CEO may give some technical response to this, I think it is only fair and proper. I'm taking cue from the honourable members who have indicated a high level of discomfort on the fact that information should have flown between the two parties. I think it is only fair that when necessary we take responsibility. And as I'm sitting here on behalf of the board, colleagues sitting around here, that I think it's fair that we take responsibility, because certain things, certain information should have flowed, that the honourable members shouldn't have seen this to be a waste of their time. I'm coming from that anger. I think it's only fair, it's only humble, it is only correct that on the side where we have erred, we would like to admit and humbly apologize on the score, and that it be read that we're not undermining the house. Some information should have flowed better than it did. We truly apologize.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe just at a technical level, Honourable Member, that our understanding of the previous engagement was really to, because the statement was that on the matter raised and tabled in relation to an allegation by Proudly Malindegel that the Independent Development Trust supporting an individual personal campaign on the 2011 local government election. So our report, we channeled it towards that. The issues of the forensic audit, I must admit, this intensive report that has been given today, we're only hearing it today. So in terms of the forensic audit, we were talking about the audit that we had instituted internally, and I think we should have adequately, as my chairperson say, if we had understood because we didn't know that at this meeting the Proudly Mannenberg will come and make a presentation and there will be other issues that they are bringing in. Because in the previous meeting, the issue of the forensic audit was not what was the emphasis. It was an audit, which we were referring to as PwC having done the audit, which was internal. So I think there's been some confusion in terms of what is expected at this meeting, because if we knew that we were coming to respond to the issues of forensic audit, probably we would have communicated with the department. And also just on behalf of the department to say that post our last meeting, we didn't go back to the department because we thought it was still within our ambit to respond to what had happened that had brought Mannenberg to come to yourself to present the case. So I'm accepting that there could have been some misunderstanding in that on our side as well, because we had not elevated the matter to the committee. The other matter that has been raised, as honourable members have already said, it is a matter that was not raised at the last meeting. So actually, in terms of what we were required to respond to today, I don't think we were fully abreast with information on what the expectations are. So it was not intentional from our side not to have elevated the matter to public works, but we didn't think that we were coming to talk to the issues that relate to the forensic audit. We thought it was the internal processes and the accusation that we funded Mannenberg in this financial year, which resulted in the independent candidate standing because he utilized that money. So we focused our response on that. And that, in our opinion, had very little to do with public works as the financier of the program. So it's only today that most of this information is coming up and relating to the issues of forensic audit. And again, honorable members, the issue of the meeting that is referred, at that meeting we were talking about we will make a recommendation. If we find that there are issues that relate to fraud, we will make a recommendation to the Department of Public Works for a forensic audit. As the honorable member had said, forensic audits are quite pricey, and sometimes when they come, we're not budgeted for it. So it is important that we get approval from the department, which is the recommendation that we had made. So I just want to clear that it was not intentionally to undermine the committee. But I think the information that we had last and the information of today, which we were not aware of, we are only hearing it now. Hence, we responded to say on the forensic, we had made a recommendation to the department. Thank you.
Honourable Member, there's a confusion here that I want to be clarified. What is a forensic audit? A forensic audit, to my understanding, is an external investigation. But IDT, from the beginning, you should have indicated that you are using Pricewaterhouse as your internal auditors. Because once you indicate forensic and you talk about Pricewaterhouse, to us, it says there are external auditors. That's my understanding. That's where the whole confusion comes in. Because it now looks as if, as the committee, we don't understand what you are talking about. From the beginning, you should have clarified us that you are using them. But there's no way that you can use an external auditor and not pay the price. And you say they are doing internal. They can't do internal at a very cheap cost. That's what the whole thing is. Honorable Rabu Dabi.
Listen, I was also asking that next time when they come in, they should also bring, you know, the report of the audit so that we also see what happened.
The more the CEO, CEO, you know, CFO, CHCO, next to each other, the more she tries to explain it, the more confusing she creates. Let's close this matter on the basis that they are going to put together every response. Chairperson, when you do investigation, you don't only, if there is money involved, you don't only focus on the candidate funded kind of a thing. It's money. Where there is money involved, investigation must go all out. Now, the CEO is justifying that the forensic audit with the internal audit, it's two separate audits. that will be covered in the report that they will bring. I think they will close, must close this matter. She must not explain further, because the more she explains, she raises more questions. So, thanks.
So we're closing this matter. We now deal with the outstanding issues. Am I right, honourable members? And one of the outstanding issues is mud schools and the rest. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, honourable chair and honourable members. We always appreciate an opportunity that we are given to explain these matters further. If the chair and the house would remember, at the last sitting we had in May, there was an issue and a lot of questions that were being raised on the mud schools, and management at that particular time was trying to explain to the Honourable House in terms of the differentiation between IDT-funded mud schools as well as those which are funded by basic education. I'm hoping and trusting that this morning Honourable Chair would be able to engage and have clarity eventually on this matter, so that as we go along, report to yourself from an oversight perspective, this general background would have been heard. And then at a later stage then, Honourable Chair, we would also speak to the vacancy rate issue that had been raised by the committee at the same sitting, and then hoping that then finally we would talk to issues around the long-term sustainability of the ITT. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. I'll give over ways to deal with this matter. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. Once more, greetings to the House. Chair, allow me to open.
Chairperson. Honourable
Chairperson, can I just get a clarity on the procedural matter here? We are engaging the entity on the mud school. My understanding is that when you engage the entity, there should be a representative from the department who is supposed to be part of that meeting, because IDT accounts to the Department of Public Works. So if we engage EIDT, then there are other responses that we're supposed to get from the department. Are we going to defer those issues again, so that we move with the same understanding? The person who's dealing, who's working together with AIDT on this program, must also be part of this meeting from the department, so that when we're dealing with these issues, we're dealing with them in totality. The department is here. They understand the concerns that are being raised by members. The IDT is here. But if there's IDT alone, the department is not here. I don't know. Just a procedural matter, so that we move with the same understanding.
Honourable members, Mr. Mthombeni is here from Pretoria on the issue of the mud schools. Am I right? No, Honourable Member, let's give him a chance to respond.
Thank you, Chair, and Honourable Members. I mean, I should think, you know, what I need to confirm to members is that I'm here to take all the queries, even some of the answers which may come from the department. My unit, Intergovernmental Relations Interface with IDT, were interested to coordinate the activities to the department. So we'll be able to respond where necessary. When we can't, it will rise to accounting officer, of course. Thank you.
Thank you. That's what she said. He said in the morning when he came to my office that they will respond to. Honourable Majlopa.
Yes. Chair, now we have been debating the matter, and there was no representation of the Department of Public Works to respond.
Honourable Majlopa, there are allocated certain functions to deal with. Mr. Mthombeni wouldn't respond to the issues IDT. Because it's not under his competency. He has been sent here to come and deal with the issue of mud schools.
Oh, mud schools in particular.
Thank you.
Members, let's allow Mthombeni to respond on the issues that he has been sent to come and respond on. Can you allow IDT to make a presentation?
Chairperson, thank you. Maybe, Chair, let me start by saying that this presentation addresses largely two things. One, questions which have been coming from the members regarding information in the program of eradicating mud schools. The other key question was, who in the country is responsible for this program? Maybe let me start with that one. Chair, the eradication of mud schools or any infrastructure that relates to schooling thereof is the responsibility of the provincial departments of education. National Treasury, on an annual basis, through what is called infrastructure grant to provinces, allocates funding to the Department of Education for them to address, amongst other things, the question of mud schools. Recently, Chair, we've seen National Treasury allocating some resources to the tune of 8.2 billion for the MTF period 2012 to 2014 to the National Department of Education for the same purpose. Public works and entities like the IDT provide support to the Department of Education. Public Works has the mandate spearheading infrastructure management on behalf of government. So, ordinarily, Public Works would assist the education in the actual implementation or in the actual program management of a school's eradication or any other infrastructure program thereof. IDT plays a similar role that the public work would play, in the sense that we would provide program management support in the delivery of schools programs and other infrastructure. In a nutshell, we are saying that as an organization, we do not have neither the mandate nor the funding to eradicate mud schools. We have a broad funding of assisting government in program delivery, and that's how we come to participate in this program. Having said so, Chair, I will provide the committee with pertinent information around the state of mud schools in the country. And this is the outline of the items that we will deal with in the presentation. A hard copy is also in the pack of the members. As a background, the program was identified as a presidential priority, in this nation state of address in 2008. The state of mud schools in the country notes, as of the latest available database, which is driven by the National Department of Education, this was in 2007, was that there were 26,000 schools in the country, of which 8,500 were inappropriate. They would fall under the metal, mud, prefabricated, and wood. You would also note that Eastern Cape had the largest share, followed by KZN and followed by Limpopo in terms of these inappropriate schools. You'd further note that the mud schools in particular, within the total inappropriate schools, largely were concentrated around the Eastern Cape with a huge number of 1,652. The National Department of Education, of Basic Education, has indicated that in 2012 that they will be revising the statistics. So this is as at 2007. Obviously, things have changed because over the years there have been improvements in the program. This slide presents how we work as the IDT. It seeks to highlight our role as a program support agency to government, in the sense that you can see IDT in the middle. You can see the contracting department, which will either be Department of Education or in certain instances Public Works themselves, when they would bring us to support them in the delivery of the infrastructure. And below IDT would be the contractors, the support consultants that we would manage in the delivery of the program. Of course, funding would go to the client department by the National Treasury, and we would be contracted to support the government. Over the last 3 years, actually we've increased the snapshot to a 4-year. This is what we have done as an organization in schools infrastructure. This is again for information purposes. We've assisted government to the tune of 3.7 billion, I'm rounding it up, in the provision of schools program. And you can see the breakdown between the provinces in terms of which provinces have we done much work than the other. Again, this work of us supporting government departments is largely at the instance of the departments themselves. In other provinces, for example, Western Cape, where the provinces would submit that they've got adequate capacity, they would engage less of our support services. Yet in those provinces where there are capacity challenges, the tendency would be for the IDT support to be secured. The history of the IDT participation in the eradication of mud schools program, we participated in the public works funded program for urgent schools construction using alternative construction methodologies. This is the latest intervention that we're doing in support of the National Department of Public Works, which department is piloting the utilization of alternative construction methods for the purpose of speeding up construction with a view to eradicate the backlog. We've participated in the National Eradication of Mud Schools Program for the MTEF period 2009-2011. This was the initial program of 2.7 billion funded by the National Treasury. National Treasury provided, in addition to the infrastructure grant to provinces, a 2.7 billion which was meant specifically for this purpose. A province, for example, would receive its normal infrastructure grant. Over and above, they would receive additional resources out of that 2.7 billion for the program. In that program, we were engaged by some provinces, I think to the tune of around 550 million of the 2.7 billion was work that we supported various provinces in the program. We also funded this program to the tune of 150 million in the initiation stages of the program in 2007, immediately after it was declared a priority in the presidential address. We were asked by our executive authority to support this initiative by allocating funding. So we allocated 150 million to the program, and the presentation also covers what we got out of that 150 million. We also participate in the various provincial schools building program. In fact, the bulk of our work is in those programs where we are engaged by the provincial departments to support them. This slide presents specifically our participation, not in schools program, but specifically in the MAD schools eradication program over the years, with 1 billion worth of work that we've done once more in support largely of provincial departments. This slide gives a snapshot of the role that we played in the 2.7 billion National Treasury Program, which was allocated again to the various provincial departments of education. We supported 5 provinces in this program, and we worked at 67 schools to the value of 565 million. 32 of those schools have been completed. Some of those schools are still in progress. The schools that are still in progress largely are the schools where we were appointed in the last financial year, the financial year ending 2010-11. We have presented before to this portfolio committee that one of the challenges that we come across in supporting government departments is being engaged late by the departments that we support. We've reported the tendency, which is unfortunate, of departments sometimes staying with the budget, and towards about October, November, when they start to realize that they will not be able to spend the budgets that have been allocated, to start to engage ourselves in that period, which often has an effect in terms of the completion of projects within the financial year. I must say that in provinces like Mpumalanga, as well as Free State, we've been seeing a drive by those provinces to say whatever is allocated or projects that are done in a given financial year must be finished in that financial year. We believe that tends to bear better fruit because it forces the department to do planning in the preceding financial year for the delivery in the following financial year if those projects are to be completed in that financial year. Again, this is a breakdown of the schools that we were involved with out of the 2.7 billion program, which was national treasury funded, again, to the various provincial departments. This is a snapshot report of what was done by the 150 million, which was allocated by the IDT in support of this program. We worked across 8 provinces. We built 19 schools. In other 20 schools, we built 20 ablution facilities, largely in the Free State and the Northern Cape, where those provinces reported that their challenges were less of schools' needs, but more of facilities within the schools. These are additional facilities we provided in those schools, 15 schools with furniture, 7 schools with IT laboratories, 2 schools with solar power, 4 schools with water treatment. These additional facilities were on a need basis on the schools that we worked at. This is an example of this is an indication of the facilities we delivered to those schools when we break it down in terms of classrooms, toilet, resource centers, multi-purpose centers. We delivered 248 classrooms, 367 toilets, 17 resource center, stroke science lab. I think the members can see the numbers for themselves. This was merely an attempt to show the value that we secured out of the 150 million that we invested in schools. In our presentation to this committee before, there have been a request to indicate where these schools that we provided these additional facilities. This slide presents the schools which we provided with furniture per province. This slide provides the schools that we presented with IT labs, again per province. This slide presented the schools that we provided with water treatment as well as solar power per province. This slide presents the latest initiatives that I introduced earlier on about the alternative construction methodologies, which we're supporting the National Department of Education in piloting these methodologies with 10 schools in the Eastern Cape as well as 2 schools in the Northwest. If I go back to where I started, Chairperson, I would want to conclude by saying, as the organization, we have contributed, but we are not the driver, nor are we the mandated, from a resource allocation point of view, structure to eradicate MAD schools. We are submitting that the National Department of Basic Education as well as the provincial education as responsible institutions. We're submitting so based on the fact that funding for the pupils is voted to them on an annual basis, and they are responsible for accounting for that funding, and we come in to support them in attaining their objective. We're also indicating the recent allocation of 8.2 billion for the accelerated schools infrastructure delivery, which we believe will go a long way in addressing this problem in the country. We also indicating importantly, Chair, that the kind of work that we do in education is dependent on the number of agreements that we conclude with either the provincial Department of Education or the provincial Department of Public Works, and that we come in as implementers. Before the committee has asked whether do we decide where the school is built, and our answer was no, we do not, but then we support the department in the actual implementation. We have attached, as per the request of the committee, two lists. One list is the list of the schools we built in 2010 and 11. The other list is the list of the IDT built schools out of the 150 million. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, that's the report of MAD schools. Honourable Rabu Tati.
Chairperson, could you go at the page 2 of 2? On the white pages. And then look under Western Cape there. Says Stellenbosch, then it says Umzimkulu, Etequini Metro, and then it goes further to say KwaZulu-Natal, Etequini Metro, Umhlathuze. Something is wrong there. Page 2 of 2.